Open your Bible, please. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and our attention once again at verse 32. You will remember that this 11th chapter is a great chapter of faith. Faith defined. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. The rest of the chapter documents the faith of those who have gone before. The 12th chapter announces that they are a great cloud of witness. They testify to us of dynamic faith demonstrated. They acted at that time with absolute assurance for what they knew they would experience perfectly later. And so it is that we are to act now with absolute assurance of what we will experience yet in the future. There are 16 individuals that are set forth in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. And then two significant groupings. First, the nation of Israel itself. She was a people of faith. Also, as is always the case, fraught with failure. But by the mercy and grace of God, in this 11th chapter, all of the individuals, frail, failing, are preserved for us as examples of faith, not failure. And so, it is true of Israel, a chosen people with many challenges, many of which they failed in. But they are a people of faith. So it is with the prophets, men of faith. They had a ministry and message punctuated by powerful signs and permeated with prayer. We've already looked at Elijah, the prophet, referenced in the 11th chapter there. Where at verse 35 it says, women received back their dead, raised to life again. And we saw the miraculous ministry of Elijah. There are those that are identified as having quenched the fury of the flames. And we looked at the prophet Daniel and his three companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how through the flames they demonstrated a dynamic faith. We find ourselves this morning back in the prophet Daniel chapter 4. And as I've just referenced, Daniel and his companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, actually, Daniel, his Hebrew name, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his three companions, who are now in captivity in Babylon. And they have everything that identifies them with the true and the living God stripped away. And very specifically, their names are changed. Daniel will no longer have a name that identifies him with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Belteshazzar, his Babylonian name, defend the king. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, given Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, identifying them with the pagan gods of the Babylonians. But they have been characterized by a witness, a wise witness, and a witness without fear. God has honored them. And as we come to the fourth chapter of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar says to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. Going back to the second chapter of Daniel. Reading at verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms that bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Daniel delivers on the dream. Nebuchadnezzar had this troubling dream. Daniel will set forth the dream and interpret it. It is the master plan of Messiah moving to the millennial kingdom. The kingdom that will be established on earth and then go on throughout eternity. The major players are set forth in the interpretation of the dream. This idol that has been shown to Nebuchadnezzar. This idol that will be destroyed. Representing first the Babylonian kingdom, then the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, then the Greeks and the Romans. A revised kingdom that will come forth from the revised Roman Empire that will be crushed by the rock, the Messiah. And the millennial kingdom will be ushered in. Nebuchadnezzar has had this dream revealed to him. But it has not only been pronounced, it has been punctuated by signs. Daniel has been given divine discernment as no one else. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained in the royal court. Things are looking good. The king seems to have responded to how God has revealed himself through Daniel interpreting this dream. Look at verse 26 of chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, the royal advisors crowded round about them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And now he's making this pronouncement. It's the third great confession. God, the God of Daniel, the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by way of signs, has indicated he is the sovereign God. He's in control. Looking good, Neb. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs? How mighty his wonders? No doubt. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion from generation to generation. He's got the facts. But unfortunately, this confession is without any contrition. And confession without contrition doesn't cut it. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence and told him the dream. Daniel's delay is by design. Throughout Daniel's prophecy, the presence of God in human events is absolutely perfectly timed. There is not a molecule that moves apart from the master plan of Messiah. And that plan has a perfect time frame. God does what he does in absolute accord with his timing. Finally, Daniel came. He's called Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. Daniel's defining character trait is that of divine discernment. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the musicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here's my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying on my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree. A tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while I was lying on my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground in the grass of the field." This stump will remain. It will remain for a time, but it is inferior to what it was. But it will be restored to even greater glory. Let him be drenched with dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times pass by for him. God's plan is in perfect accord with his timing. Nothing happens in God's world that is not only his plan to happen, it's at the appointed time that it is to happen. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means. For none of the wise men of my kingdom can interpret it for me. But you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Defining character trait of Daniel, divine discernment. And here we, once again, Daniel will deliver on the dream. Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts alarmed him. So the king said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries, the tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves, abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. You, O King Saul, a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven, saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. It's going to remain, but it's going to be inferior until it's restored. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like a wild animal until seven time pass by for him. Seven, the perfect number in Scripture. God's timing is perfect. This is the interpretation, O King. And this is a decree the Most High God has issued against my Lord the King. You will be driven away from the people and live with wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that your prosperity will continue. Message of the prophets, consistent. Whether it is, and mostly it is, a message to God's chosen. It's a wake-up call. God is righteous. You are in ruinous rebellion. Unless you change, repent. If not, judgment falls. If you do, restoration takes place. And ultimate rule. Righteousness will reign. For Daniel and his companions, they were not proclaiming the message of the prophets to the chosen people. They were proclaiming it to the captors of the chosen people. They were bearing witness. And they did it wisely from the very beginning. Remember? Daniel requests, could I pass on this food? It's that which I have resolved not to partake of, because if I do, I'm defiling myself before my God. And he negotiated 10 days of trial. And God honored that. The witness was wise, but it was also without fear. Neb's getting the message. Repent. Isaiah. First chapter of Isaiah. All of the prophets preach the message of righteousness and the need of those in rebellion to repent. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. See, primary purpose of the prophets, wake up call, God's chosen. O sinful nation, O people loaded with guilt, O brood of evildoers, children given to corruption, they have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. On over to verse 16. Your hands are full of blood. wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be like wool. Repent, and I will restore. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Back to Daniel, verse 28, chapter 4. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later. As the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence? By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty." What are Proverbs? Psalms? Proverbs. Proverbs 3. Verse 33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the house of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. 16 verse 18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. And back again to Isaiah, this time the second chapter of Isaiah. And I'm reading from verse 12. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. Proverbs 13. I'm sorry, Isaiah 13. Reading verse 11. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. Back to Daniel 4, verse 31. The words were still on his lips. I built this royal residence. It's to my great glory and majesty. When a voice came from heaven, this is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone who he wishes. Submission to the sovereign God. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from the people, ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, perfect timing in accord with God's preordained plan. I, Nebuchadnezzar, raise my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. All rebellion against God is insanity. Then I praised the Most High God. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Neb finally gets the message, but only after he is humbled before God. And he responds. He reveres the God of righteousness. He has a response that God is in control, not me. And I bow down before Him. That's the only place to experience the deliverance from the wrath of God. Years before our Lord would come. But Nebuchadnezzar responded finally to the mount of revelation that was required of him to believe. I am God. You remember, I had the privilege of teaching the book of Job. Started in seminary in Ukraine, and then we had the opportunity to go through the book of Job for a year, maybe two, I forget how long. But basically, the book of Job comes to this climax. Job, I'm God. You're not. Trust me. That's what he's been revealing down through the annals of time. In a perfect plan of redemption, deliverance from the impending judgment deserved upon those who have rebelled against me. There is one place of refuge. Humble yourself and receive my gift. Nebuchadnezzar responds. At the time, my sanity was restored. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything He does is right, and all His ways are just, and those who walk in pride, He is able to humble. Even as a child of God, we must be constantly reminded. Because in the natural man, in my flesh, in this life that He has graciously given me, I take the controls. At least I believe I do. And it is often by His mercy and grace. Just as the nation of Israel had to have oppressors come and punish them for the purpose of humbling them so that they would turn back in repentance. So it is. That is Job, a righteous man, in defending himself before his friends, had to learn, I'm God. You're not. And here's where the timing comes in. You have to learn to trust me. I am doing all things for your good, in accordance with my perfect plan for you personally. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the privilege that is ours to spend these moments in your word under the guidance of your Spirit as we look at the prophets who have gone before, who by faith demonstrated a dynamic faith. Thank you for the grace that you have provided to take us through whatever the challenge, whatever the trial, for the purpose of being refined to your eternal praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We had two more chapters to get to that I was expecting to get to today. So we didn't get, believe it or not. But so you can read ahead because we'll be in chapter 5 and we'll be in chapter 6 yet. We got to get them into the lion's den. We're not even there yet.